Chapter number 8.
I have enjoyed the meeting. I hope that you have.
Amen.
Enjoyed the singing and the fellowship and the spirit of the Lord in the service. Appreciate you obeying the Lord. And I hope you will get me and Miss Raines on your prayer list. We are traveling a good bit. The Lord will keep his hand upon us. And I want to be where he wants me to be, doing what he wants me to do when he wants me to do it. So you help us pray. I'm just not out trying to preach meetings, but I want to be in the right place at the right time. So if you'll remember us, we sure would appreciate it. That's the Lord would use us. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 8 and verse number 23, Matthew 8, 23, the Bible said, "And when Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." It might have been John Rose, amen, verse number the two coming out wild and crazy. Might have been Larry and Norma. Or might have been Bill and Mary. Are you listening? Verse number 29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from the herd, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea." I guess that's when the swine flu started. And verse number 33, "And they kept him, they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." Would you ask God to help me again tonight? I would appreciate it. Father, Lord, I love you. Now I want to thank you for opening up my eyes years ago to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I realized that I was in darkness and blinded without hope until the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus shined into my heart. And I thank you for that, and I pray that, Lord, tonight may the gospel light shine into the heart of some soul that's here, and Lord, they would respond to that light. And as Jesus said, walk in the light while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. And Lord, I pray that every one of us would be obedient to what you speak to our hearts about tonight.
Yes.
Save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, and Lord, I pray again, revive Pleasant View Baptist Church, that she might accomplish that you have for her to do in this place until Jesus comes. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. We love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, there are a lot of different, what we would call allegories or parables or stories or different pictures throughout the Bible. And I think one of the clearest pictures in the Bible, if you're familiar with the Scripture, there are a lot of ship stories and sea stories in the Bible. Starts out, of course, with Noah's flood, and it's going to end up that there'll be no more sea. But in between Genesis and Revelation, there are a lot of different sea stories in the Bible. And I think a lot of times in the sea stories, if not all the time, that the ship on those seas are a picture of the church. And I think I could go back and prove that to you in the book of Genesis in Noah's flood. And I could prove that to you throughout the Gospels as Jesus got on board the ship here in my text in verse 23 when Jesus was entered into a ship. So I want to preach a little while tonight about the old ship of Zion. That's a picture of the church throughout the Bible. And if the Lord will help me, I want to tell you a little story, preach you a sermon about the church of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus referred to her as a ship. I thought about as I studied to preach the text about 19 and 12 on April the 10th from Southampton, England. There was a ship that had been built in England, and they said that ship, when they christened that ship, as they usually did, with champagne or whatever, and they made the statement that not even God could sink this ship. That was the Titanic. You've heard about it lately and recently, and they have discovered her at the bottom of the sea, and they're in the process of salvaging that, I think, even as we preach tonight. But nevertheless, in 1912, that ship sailed out of Southampton, England, going to New York. And the statement had been made, not even God can sink this ship. But 4 days and 14 hours later, at about 2:20 in the morning, according to the best of their calculations, that ship struck a giant iceberg and ripped a gaping hole in the left-hand front, if I remember right, of that ship. And that ship began to take on water, and in a few hours, that ship sank. There was 2,229 people on board the Titanic as it made its journey from England to New York. And 1,519 of those or so people were lost in that cold, icy water and drowned without hope of ever being found or rescued. And neighbor, that's a tragedy, but I'm telling you this tonight, for that, for Jesus' sake, there is a ship that is unsinkable. And there is a ship that's not going to be destroyed. And everybody on that ship is going to be saved. Amen. So I would encourage you tonight, get on board. I wondered if the pastor ever sang the old ship of Zion. I believe that's his kind of song, and probably I figure he could do a great job of singing about the old ship of Zion. The songwriter said, I was standing on the banks and I saw an old ship gently sailing. And a long story short, he said, the good captain said, get on board. And they lowered a life raft and took me on board and sailed on safely under the other side. In 1966, I heard the good captain calling me. And he said, Larry, get on board and be saved by the grace of God. And preacher, I yielded to him and obeyed him, and I got on board the ship of Zion. And I'm saved tonight and going to go to heaven by the grace of God. I want to preach for a little while tonight on why the old ship of Zion will never sink. There's never been a ship built that could not be sunk, but there's one ship that'll never sink, and that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how much we know about dispensations in the Bible, but there are at least seven dispensations in God's Word. And God has allowed us that are here tonight, we're living in the dispensation of the church age. Amen. Jesus came into the world and He made a statement in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so Jesus birthed the church into this world and He started her sailing towards the shores of heaven. And that church has been sailing for 2,000 years. Amen. And she sailed through the bloody seas of the Reformation when the saints were martyred and their blood ran red and soaked into the ground. And they were sown to the lions and they were torn asunder, but the old ship of Zion kept sailing. Amen. And then down through the time periods of time, the church has sailed through different times of formalism and coldness and deadness, but the ship never did strike an iceberg that was ever big enough to stop it or to sink it. Amen. So I'm very secure in the church of the Lord Jesus tonight. I think probably one of the greatest dangers since the church was born, until she's going to be completed and we land in heaven, I believe one of the greatest dangers are the dangers of our day. And that is waves of worldliness and wickedness are beating against the church and trying to destroy what God has put in this earth. And it's got to the extent that even we're fighting one with another. And brethren, these things ought not to be. That's a picture of Lot and Abraham. The Bible said they were brothers. Of course, Abraham being Lot's uncle and Lot Abraham's nephew. But they were brothers in the faith. And here's what spiritual Abraham said. We be brothers, or we be brethren. Let there not be any strife in between our herdmen. And I believe we ought to say that among every family in the church, and among every saint of God, and among every preacher. There ought not to be any strife or confusion or calamity in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the devil's trying to destroy the church in our day from the inside out.
Right.
He's trying to get in the nucleus of the church, the heart of the church, and trying to sink the ship of Zion from doing what God told her to do. So I'm running out of mice. Well, let me encourage you again. Don't you allow the devil to stop this church from what God put her on this earth to do.
Amen.
That is to shine the gospel light around the world, starting here at your place in Tucson, and letting the shine light shine out around the world. A lot I could say tonight about the end times, but here's some dangers that you need to probably make a list of, jot them in your heart and in your mind. The Bible said in Matthew 24:12, the pastor quoted this verse the other night. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're going to live in a day when people are not going to love the church the way they used to love the church.
Right.
And their hearts are going to get calloused and cold, and that fire that they used to have for Jesus is going to go out. If you allow that to happen in your physical family, you're going to end up in divorce court and your family destroyed.
Right.
If you allow that to happen in your spiritual life, you're going to be out of church and wondering what took place. Here's what Jesus said in the book of the Revelation. He said, you have left your first love. And a lot of folks are letting that happen in their life tonight. I refuse to do that. I want that fire burning upon the altar of my heart that I had for Jesus when I first met Him. And by the way, I love Him more tonight after being saved 43 years. I love Him more tonight than I did when I met Him then a long time ago.
Amen.
Miss Raines and I have been married over 48 years, and I love her more tonight than I did when I met her when she was about 16 years old. You say, preacher, how can that be? Well, I love her more because I know more about her, and I know what she is, and we've been through the thick and the thin together, and fought the battles, and raised a family, and served Jesus all of these years, and so we ought to love one another more now than we did then. Amen? Long story short, don't let your love grow cold for the church. Don't let your love grow cold for the saints of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. I could quote 2 Timothy chapter 3 to you, and I could quote 2 Timothy chapter 4 to you, and I think I could quote 1 Timothy chapter 4 to you, but the Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 that iniquity is going to be abounding, and when that iniquity begins to abound, in those last days the Spirit speaketh expressly that the love of many shall wax cold, and their hearts are going to get cold, and they're just not going to have that fervor that they used to have for Jesus. So don't let that happen to you. If you do, you're going to make shipwreck of this church, and going to make shipwreck of your ministry, and shipwreck of whatever God would have you to do. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, there was two men, and here's what Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, hold in faith and a good conscience, while some, having put away, have made shipwreck.
of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, the Bible said they put away their faith, and they didn't hold on to their faith, and they made shipwreck. Now you can read a lot in that that's not in there. Just because you have a shipwreck, that's not to say that you got lost again and had to be saved. And I don't have time to deal with that. But there's a lot of folks made shipwreck. I know churches that have made shipwreck. I know preachers that have made shipwreck. I know young people that have made shipwreck out of their life. But I refuse to make shipwreck of my faith. And so Jude said in verse number 20, building up yourself on your most holy faith. You do that because the Bible said in the book of Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. So learn to be a listener and a doer of the Bible, and not just what your preacher preaches, but learn to read your Bible. Right. Become a daily Bible student. Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against God. So get in the Bible and read it. It'll make a difference in your life, and you'll never make shipwreck, and you'll stay close to Jesus. Let me give you three things tonight, and we'll be through. Why the old ship of Zion will never sink? Well, why do you think this ship didn't sink? If you'll look at it in my text tonight, the Bible said in verse number 24, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Here's a ship that's out on the Sea of Galilee, apparently, and the waves got so high that they covered the entire ship. Now you got a whole lot of trouble when the ship, neighbor, is under the waves, and the waves are up over that ship. And the only reason that ship survived that storm is because the master of the sea was on board that ship. And that's what I want to preach about for just a little while. The reason the ship did not sink is because of the cost that Jesus paid for it. It's not only the cost, but also the commission. I've got 6 points. Let me give you 3 cents of twins, and I'll quit tonight. The old ship of Zion will never sink because of the cost that Jesus paid and the commission that He gave her. He got on this ship, and if you'll read the other accounts in the gospel, He said, get in the ship and let's go to the other side. That's what He told these disciples. Get in the ship. We are going over yonder to the land of the Gergesenes, if I pronounce that correctly. And He said, we're going over. He didn't say we're going under. He didn't say the storm's going to defeat us. He said, preacher, we are going over. So here's what I'd like to say. Get in, sit down, fasten your seatbelt, hang on. We're going for a ride. Amen. I'm telling you, it's exciting being a part of the church.
Yes.
It's exciting being a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it in all the world. I thought about this today. I'll give you my point in just a minute, and I'll quit. But I thought about the church age. If you believe in dispensation, those are specific periods of time in the Bible. And the Lord's allowed us to live in what we call, and Bible students call, the dispensation. Paul said a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And so we're living in the dispensation of the church age from the time it was born until the time it's going to be finished. And I personally think that's going to be 2 days when in the book of John chapter 4, and I'm running a lot of rabbits, but I'll get to my message in just a minute. Jesus turned from the Jew and went down into Samaria, and He stayed down there 2 days in John chapter number 2. And then He went back to the Jews and began to deal with them. And I don't have time to deal with that, but I believe that's a good picture of the Gentile church age. You can find that same picture in the book of Hosea. God told the nation of Israel, after 2 days I'm going to revive the nation of Israel. And He said that through the pen of Hosea, His servant. And so, neighbor, I believe that's what the church age is. I believe it's going to be a 2,000 year dispensation, or 2 days. When God created the heaven and the earth and set the universe the way He put it, He established it on a 7 year, 7 day, like I said, the 7 number of perfection or completion. And God, I think, set the earth and the universe up as we know it on a 7,000-year pattern. And we're in that year, neighbor, when we come up to that fifth year, and we're going to go through the church age dispensation and get through that, and there'll be a 1,000-year reign after the millennial reign of Jesus. There's going to be a 1,000-year reign after that, and that'll be 7 days. And in the 8,000 years, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And 8 is always in the Bible the number of new beginnings. I said that the other day, the other night. After 7 days, you start on a new week. After 7 notes in the octave, you start on a new octave. And after 7,000 years, God, according to 2 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible said one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I didn't mean to get out here, and how I got out here, I don't know, but I'm here, amen. And I'll get out back down the tree in just a minute. Then 2 Peter chapter 3, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He said, we were just alive. We're going to be looking for that new heaven and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so you ought to be looking tonight, but the only ones that are going to enjoy that 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ that's living in this dispensation, it'll be those that get on board the old ship of Zion. It'll be those, neighbor, that enter into the ark, like in Noah's day in the book of Genesis. Noah built an ark to the saving of your house. And after Noah labored 120 years and built that ark, the Bible said, Noah, come into the ark. God was in the ark, and He called Noah to come in the ark. And just like the Bible said, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. That ark had one door, and that door was in the side of the ark, and they come into that ark, and God shut to the door. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out, and find pasture. Here's what you're going to have to do. You have a free will. God gave you the ability to choose to stay outside or to come inside. In Noah's days, they laughed and they mocked and they made fun, and they said, it's not going to rain. We don't believe that old story. The waters are going to come to the earth as the waters come to the sea. Noah, we don't believe that. Well, whether they believed it or not, I'm telling you, the geographers and the astronauts and everybody else that studies the earth and the heaven, they'll tell you there had to be a flood. And you can go to the heart of Africa, or you can go to the New Guinea, and where the heathens, labor, steal cannibals and everything else, and they have in their history that there was a flood that covered this earth. And we know that because the Bible said, whether history proved it or not, there was an earthly flood, and God flooded the earth. And the only boat that survived that flood was the ark that God had Noah to build. And the only way to get in that ark was in one door, and that was in the side of the ark. Jesus hung on Calvary, and the Bible said the soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and forthwith came the water and the blood, and God opened up a fountain. The Bible said in the Old Testament, God would open up a fountain in the house of Jesse. You know who Jesse is? That was David's father. You know who David was? That was the seed that Jesus was to be born through the Virgin Mary. And so God opened up a fountain of living water when He shed the blood on Calvary's tree, and all that'll come in that door through the finished work of Calvary can be saved by the grace of God. That's the only way to get on board the old ship of Zion, is to obey the voice of Jesus, and when you get on there, you will be safe and secure. We're going back to Matthew chapter number 8. Notice tonight the reason that this ship did not sink is because of the cost and the commission. Would you men listen to me, lady? If your husband's asleep, elbow him just a little bit.
Amen.
The Bible said in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. church and gave himself for it. You know what it cost God to build a church? You know what it cost God to redeem the church? You know what it cost God to purchase a church? The Bible said, for as much as you know, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last time for you, who by him do believe in God. Are you listening to me? We believe in God by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He proved that he was God incarnate in a body of flesh. The Bible said he shed his blood and he purchased a church in 1 Peter 1:18. We're not redeemed by gold, silver, water, good works, or anything else. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Why the blood, preacher? Well, the Bible said in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so Jesus had to give his life and shed his blood that our sins might be washed away. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You're going to have to accept the sacrifice of Calvary's Lamb in order to get on the old ship of Zion, in order to go to heaven. That's the only way. Are you listening? Right. Thank God for you, preacher. Thank God for Pleasant View Baptist Church. But just being here and being a good church member or being baptized is not going to save you. That does not put you in board or on board the ship. You have to be born again. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So if you have never asked Jesus to take you on board the ship, and Jesus come into your heart, sometime or another you're going to have to do that. And I can assure you from the Bible, the day's far spent, and the night's coming, and you better get on board. They laughed at Noah, they made fun of Noah, and God told Noah into the ark, and he left that door open for 7 days, and not one soul went in there. They partied, they laughed, they mocked, they scoffed, and the Bible said the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. They did not listen to the old preacher when he preached, and the Bible said at the end of that seventh day, God shut to the door, and maybe the rain began to fall from heaven, and the dust began to boil up at their feet, and they realized the old preacher was telling the truth, but it was too late to get in the ark. Are you listening to me? And one of these days, Jesus is going to come, and it may be too late for you if you don't get on board tonight. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You get saved when God is dealing with your heart. And I'll guarantee after praying today and asking the Lord what he would have me to preach, I fell down on the deep bosom into my soul that God was going to extend the call of salvation and speak to your heart tonight and say, come into the ark and get on board the old ship of Zion and let's go to heaven together. Would you listen? The reason God will not allow the ship of Zion to ever sink is because of what it cost him to build it. Are you listening? What did it cost, preacher, for God to build the church? John 3:16, the Bible in one verse. For God so loved the world, that is Jehovah God, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the virgin born Son of God. God so loved us tonight that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You're going to have to get on board the old ship of Zion. It's the only way you're ever going to go to heaven. And when you get on board that ship, you are saved and saved good. Are you listening to me? Because of the blood. We sang about it tonight. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. You say, preacher, how can you be white as snow? Well, I can't explain it, but I've experienced it. Are you listening to me? I got 14 black cows out behind my house in South Carolina, and they're black cows, and they eat green grass and get white milk and yellow butter. Amen? And I can't explain that to save my life. And I can't explain how an old black sinner can be washed in red blood and come out as white as snow. But Brother Isaiah, so your head, though your sins be scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. You listen to me. You get saved by the grace of God, and God will put you on board the old ship of Zion, and you'll become a part of the church. She is not going to sink. The church is leaving this earth, and I believe it's going to leave very shortly. I believe the Lord told me to let you read a verse today. In Ephesians, if you'll look with me, please, at a verse of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, I think it's chapter number 4. I'm talking about why the ship's not going to sink, and it's because of the cost that God paid for it. And in the little letter to the Ephesian church, here's what he said. I believe in chapter 4, if my memory's not failing me tonight. In Ephesians chapter number 4, and I believe it's about verse number, and I may have the wrong chapter. I should have looked it up before I come to church tonight. But in Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible said, that's not it. Let me find the verse. Ephesians chapter number 4, Paul, it's Acts. Let me look at Acts chapter 20. I'm sorry, I'm preaching last night's message in Ephesians 4. Look at Acts chapter 20 at a verse of Scripture, and I hope it'll help you tonight to understand why the blood. In Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, Paul is doing the preaching here in the book of Acts chapter number 20, and he's preaching to the preachers, a bunch of overseers at Ephesus. And in Acts 20:28, here's what he said. To you preachers, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, look now, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What did he purchase the church with, Pastor? He purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. Now that's an interesting statement. That would blow the minds of a lot of religionists of our day, and a lot of folks do not believe it. But you look what he said. God purchased the church with what? With his own blood. Let me ask you, when did that happen? Your pastor is a Bible student, believes the Bible, reads the Bible. If that's not talking about Calvary, when did God purchase the church with his own blood? That's what he was talking about on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on Calvary. You know what blood was flowing in the veins of Jesus? It was God's blood. God was his Father. The Virgin Mary was his mother. And the Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 1, when Gabriel appeared unto the Virgin Mary and said, Hail, thou art highly favored among women, not above women, but among women. God is with you. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow you, and you can conceive in thy womb, shall conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and what? Call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:21, Emmanuel, being interpreted, is God with us. You know what it took for God to purchase a church? You know what it took for God to redeem sinners? It took the blood of God flowing in the veins of Jesus Christ. And I don't have time to preach on the deity of Jesus, but I'm telling you, what manner of man is this? I'm in the text in Matthew chapter number 8. What manner of man is this? He's asleep in one moment, and the next moment, the sea is obeying him. What manner of man is that? That's the God man. Are you listening to me? He got his flesh from his mother Mary, and he got his blood from the Father, the Holy Ghost, when she conceived of the Spirit of God and brought forth the virgin-born Son of God. And Isaiah said, you'll call his name Emmanuel. And the Bible said in Matthew 1:21, you'll call his name Emmanuel. And the Bible said he was God incarnate in a body of flesh. Here's what Paul wrote about it in 1 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Are you listening? That was in Jesus. If that wasn't Jesus, when was God manifest in the flesh? 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angel, preached unto Gentiles, received up in the glory. But it was God on board that ship and kept that ship from sinking. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? It's never going to sink because of the cost that God paid to redeem it or to build the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Lord, how are you going to do that? I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to shed my red royal blood, and I'm going to pay the sin debt, and I'm going to satisfy God. If I had time, I'd give you most of Isaiah 53, but the Bible said it pleased the Father to bruise Jesus, because God so loved us that He bruised His only Son on the cross of Calvary, and for His stripes, neighbor, we're healed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Are you listening to me? That's Calvary. That's a redeeming of the church. We are living in a period of time from the birth of the church till the rapture of the church, and we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. There's never been anybody like it, and there'll never be anybody like us again. We are the bride of Christ. Are you listening to me? Over 40, nearly 50 years ago, I saw a dark, almost black-headed. She can't tell her hair wasn't black. She said, who are you preaching about? That's the tall, slim girl had black hair. Well, she's a tall, slim girl with almost black hair, about as dark as it can get without being black. And there out of all the girls in Florida, I could have chosen and got what I wanted, I guess, from two or three, but I thought, well, I, but there's the one I chose.
Amen.
And God said He chose us. Jesus said, you hadn't chosen me, I've chosen you.
Right, right.
A lot of us think we did God a favor when we got saved. It's God that approached you. Are you listening to me? And He said, will you marry me?
Amen.
We're the bride of Christ. He approaches you. He extends an invitation to you. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me drawing. He extends an invitation to you. Get on board the ship.
Amen.
Get on board the ship and let's take a honeymoon to heaven.
Amen.
Live happily forever after.
Amen.
Does that excite you?
Yes, sir.
It does me. We're not going down, we're going up. Storms are going to be. Buddy sees icebergs of religion, worldly ways trying to overrule and defeat the church. She's not gone down. God paid too much for her. Yeah. He gave His only Son, preacher. I could stay there and preach from Genesis to Revelation. I don't have time. Time flies when you're having fun. But not only she's not gone down because of the cost that God paid for her, she's not gone down because of the commission Jesus gave her. In Matthew chapter number 28, Jesus is going back to heaven, and He told His disciple, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And by the way, He said, teaching all men to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. He gave the church, preacher. He gave us a commission, and the ship is not going to sink because of the work that God gave her to do. Local assemblies may blow up. Local assemblies folks may quit, and you may sell a building and turn it over to somebody else. But I'm telling you this, the church of Jesus Christ is alive and well, and she is not going to be defeated by the storm of this earth. We've got work to do, and I'll tell you this, and I'm trying to hurry. You may get cold and indifferent, quit witnessing. You may quit supporting missionaries. But can I say this tonight? Here's your first missionary. And preacher, I wouldn't take on a bunch of missionaries tonight if I couldn't support my pastor and take care of
him. I hope he take care of him. He hadn't said one word to me. I hadn't said one thing to him. But God will bless the church. That'll take care of that man of God. He can't live on fried rabbit trots and wind pudding. He has to buy groceries just like we do. Amen. So be good to him. Take care of him. And God will take care of the church. I never have seen a church that God didn't take care of, that took care of their man of God. And so going back to Matthew chapter number 8 tonight, the church will never sink because of the cost and because of the commission. I'm just touching on this verse, but look with me please again in verse number 24, Matthew 8:24. The Bible said, "There arose," I marked that, "there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves." Now that is a whole lot of trouble. Look down at verse 26. "Then he saith unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." If you mark your Bible, I mark, "There arose and he arose, and there was a great tempest" in verse 24, "and there was a great calm" in verse number 26. Are you looking? "There arose a wave bigger than the ship, and there arose a Savior bigger than the wave. And he said, Peace be still." Are you listening? "There arose a great tempest, and it ended up being a great calm." You know what the secret is in verse number 25? The Bible said his disciples came to him. Here's what you need to do. When the church is being talked and the billows are rolling and the waves of apostasy are trying to beat upon the ship and destroy the church tonight, what we better learn to do is run to Jesus and tell him what our problems are. If you got problems in your marriage tonight, why don't you tell it to Jesus? If you got financial problems tonight, why don't you tell it to Jesus? Amen. Whatever cares you got, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of them on the Lord. He does care for you. Now I don't know what would have happened had these disciples not obeyed what Jesus had already told them to do. But when that storm began to beat in their life, they took that problem to Jesus and they cast that at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus arose and rebuked Nabal, and the calm came and the waves laid down and licked his feet like a little puppy does. Jesus took care of their problem. And that's what he'll do for yours as well in his perfect timing. He's teaching them a lesson. But the church is not going to sink, secondly, not only the cost of the commission, but because of the captain and his capability. You know who the captain of that ship was? The same captain as my captain.
Amen.
The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 10, it's a strange verse, but it's a good verse, and I don't have time to deal with it tonight, but the Bible said Jesus was made perfect through the things that he suffered.
Right.
So perfection is not sinlessness, because Jesus was sinless before he ever suffered.
Amen.
But the Bible said he made the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
Amen.
He's the captain. I'm taking out of that verse, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. That's why the ship's not gone down.
Amen, preacher.
They said a ship was in a storm one time and it's trying to get everybody. Everybody was scared to death. And this 7 or 8 year old girl was sitting up on the bow of the ship and she was pitching the little ball up, catching it, pitching the ball and playing jack stones or something. And the men said, "Aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid this boat's going to sink or you're going to be swept overboard?" She said, "No, sir." Said, "Why aren't you afraid?" She turned around and pointed up there in the crow's neck and said, "My daddy's the captain of this ship."
Amen.
He knows every storm. He's going to guide us. Here's two things Jesus is doing for the church. He's going to guide it and he's going to guard it.
Amen.
He'll take you through the storm, or he'll guard you, neighbor, in that storm.
Amen.
One or the other. He always does.
Amen.
I don't know if you realize this or not. In this account, in chapter 8, the Bible said they went to Jesus, didn't they? They went and told him. In Matthew number 14, Brother John, the Bible said Jesus is in the mountain praying, and the ship's in the storm. It's a different storm, different account, but it's the application he wants us to see. In Matthew 8, they went to Jesus. In Matthew 14, Jesus comes to them.
Amen.
Remember, he's a part. He comes walking on the sea, walking on the water, coming to the boat. Here's what your storms will do for you.
Amen.
they ought to. They either take you to Jesus or bring Jesus to you.
Amen.
It's not time to get out of the boat.
Amen.
It's not time to let the storm defeat you. It's not time to think the church is going to go down. Here's what God lets you get in storm for. And I've already mentioned this week. He either wants that storm to bring you closer to Him, or that storm's going to bring Him closer to you. Always, no exceptions.
Amen.
The church is not going down as long as the captain's on board.
Amen.
He's the captain of our salvation. He's going to guard us. He's going to guide us. And by the way, He's going to groom us and make us what we ought to be. Quickly tonight, the cost and the commission, the captain and his capability. And if you don't believe Jesus is capable of handling your problem, you just look at the great calm that came when this storm was raging. Thirdly tonight, and quickly, the ship Ozion's not going to go down because of the cargo and the companionship that's on board that ship.
Amen.
What is the cargo, preacher? Well, Jesus put it this way. In John chapter number 10, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and no man is able to pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." And He went on to say, "None of those that the Father has given Me has been lost, but the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, that the Scripture may be fulfilled." Jesus has never lost one saint, and never one of them has been destroyed.
Amen.
Why? Because of His capability and who He is. That's the cargo. We're the souls of men that's in the church, and God has taken us to heaven through the church in this dispensation. And the church has not gone down because of this cargo that's on board the ship.
Right.
We're saved. And not only the cargo, here's my last point, the companionship. You know what the church is? We're the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I'm 69 years old. I do have a concealed weapons permit. This is my bride. You may be younger than me, and tougher than me, and older than me, but you mess with her, you're going to get in trouble.
That's right.
You mess with the church, you're going to get in trouble.
Amen.
We're His bride.
That's right.
Nobody's ever rose up. God promised the nation of Israel, no weapon that's formed against thee will prosper.
That's right.
Nobody's ever fought the church and escaped without God's wrath being touched on them.
Yeah. That's right. Right.
She's not going to be defeated.
Amen.
Nation of Israel is not going to be defeated either. I don't care if it's England, the United States, and Iran, and Iraq, and all the rest of them get all their nuclear bombs and energy and everything to God. I'm telling you, God is going to protect that little nation.
Amen.
And I don't have time to preach on dispensations again. He's dealing with the Gentiles today. He's dealing with the church today. But God's going to protect the church.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter what the Republicans or the Democrats do. You stay with the church, love the church, support the church, raise your family in the church. One of these days, the Bible said in Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, down about verse number 10, 11, and 12, Jesus is going to come leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills, and He's going to say, "Winter's past and the summer's come, the time of the singing of the birds has come. Come away with Me, My love, My dove, My undefiled." And the church is going to rise up out of this world. You can find that in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. John said, "After this, I heard a voice that said, 'Come up hither.'" One of these days, could be tonight, Jesus is going to come in the eastern sky, and He's going to say, "Church, come up hither." And just like Lazarus got up out of the grave, as the church is going to get up out of the earth, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain to be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we call the rapture of the church. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the translating of the saints is same application. And we're going to be caught out of this world, go home to be with God. We're going to land on the shores of sweet deliverance and forevermore be with Jesus. He put it this way, and I'm through. In John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me.
In my Father's house are many mansions. Miss Raines and I were at a funeral, and this preacher got up and he said, in my Father's house are many extended apartments. That's what he read in the pulpit of the church where we was at the funeral. I looked and I said, extended apartments? Who wants to live in an extended apartment?
Who wants to live in a pot? I hate to live in. I've been living in a motel room for 3 years. Thank you for the good room. Fairfield Inn's nice. But I don't want to live there. I like to visit there. I don't want to live there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There's 318 promises of His second coming in the New Testament.
Amen.
More than the Old Testament had of His first coming. Isaiah said a virgin is going to conceive and be with a child and bring forth a child and call His name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and government's going to be on His shoulder and of His kingdom there'll be no end. Every bit of that was fulfilled right down to a minute detail.
Amen.
Even the little Bethlehem scene, where He was born, was prophesied in the Bible.
That's right.
Prophesied He'd go to Calvary and bleed and die and be buried, and the third day rise again. Every bit of that was prophesied. Every bit of it's been fulfilled. And the next thing on the calendar in the Bible is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
Jesus is coming again. There's going to be a world government, one world government. There's going to be one world currency. All of that, if you can't see that, you got your head in the sand tonight.
Right.
If I was you, I'd get on board. I'd get saved while I had the opportunity. I'd be the voice of God's ringing out over the restless waves. Get on board, get on board, get on board. One of these days, as it was in the days of Noah, the door's going to be shut. It's going to be too late for you to get saved. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. You're a free moral agent. He said, whosoever will, and if you don't want to, you don't have to get on board.
Amen.
Whosoever will, let him come. You can get on board the church, the old ship of Zion, and be saved. Or you can go on in your sins and perish without Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. That's a definite article. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. That is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I am the door. I'm the resurrection. He said about seven I ams in the Gospel of John, the New Testament, and He's the great I am, incarnate in the body of flesh, and He wants to save your soul.
Amen.
You're going to have to yield to Him and obey Him and come to Him and ask Him to save you. Would you bow your head for just a minute? The pastor's going to come. Song leader's going to come. What if tonight was the last opportunity you had? What if the promise Jesus gave, if I go away, I will come again? What if that was tonight? If He came tonight, there's people in this auditorium, you'd be left behind. Please, would you listen to me just a minute? We're not asking you to join Pleasant View Baptist Church. I'm asking you to get on board the old ship of Zion and let Jesus save you. You young people, don't miss heaven. Don't miss the coming of the Lord. Don't wait too late. We adults, please, your life, the day's far spent, your life's behind you. Don't miss the opportunity of going to heaven. Here's what you have to do. Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you life. You're going to have to ask Him. Romans 10:13, the preacher quoted, and I'm through. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you ask Him to save you tonight? Young people, get saved tonight. You adults, get saved tonight. Church, stay in the battle. Jesus hadn't forgotten us. He's coming to get the church very shortly. Preacher, thank you.
Let's stand together tonight. And we're going to have an invitation song tonight. If you need to come tonight, if you want to come and accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, come down to this old altar and kneel before the Lord. And you say, well, that would embarrass me, preacher. would it embarrass you if you died in your sins and went to hell? One day you're going to have to bow before Jesus Christ. God has given him all authority in heaven and earth. And every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ one of these days. It's better to bow to him and accept him as your Lord and Savior than it is to bow to him as your judge and hear him say, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus loves us. He died for us to save us from our sins.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking as the preacher was closing the message that there's not, the church is made up of all kinds of people. There's drunkards in here. I'm talking about what we were before Jesus saved us. With drunkards and dope addicts and I don't know who all's in here tonight and what you've done in your life, but I know the church is made up of harlots, dope pushers, drunkards, thieves, liars, all kinds of sinful people that Jesus has forgiven and saved us by His grace and changed our lives and made us different people because He's changed our heart.
Amen.
And if you're here tonight and you don't know Him as your Savior, would you come as we sing this invitation song? You obey the Lord as we sing.
Page 41 in your hymnal. Page 41.
Come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus looked at that religious man and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, no man can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You've got to be born again by faith in Jesus Christ to enter into the kingdom of God. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've got to look at Jesus Christ, God's Son, hanging on an old rugged cross for your sins. Put your faith in what he did for you, shedding his blood to wash your sins away. Ask his forgiveness. Ask the Father's forgiveness. And put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want you to forgive me. I want you to save my soul and give me eternal life. Would you do that tonight? Everybody in this building that's saved tonight has done that. And there's not a one of us ashamed about it. There's not one of us sorry that we've done it.
Amen. Amen.
We trusted in Him. He saved our soul. He's given us eternal life. And when we die, we're going to heaven. All because of what He's done for us. But He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Your religion, Nicodemus, is not going to get you to heaven. Your race is not going to get you to heaven. Because you're a child, the son of Abraham, is not going to get you to heaven. You've got to be made a son of God.
That's right.
By faith in the blood.
Amen.
Would you trust Jesus Christ tonight? Would you believe in God's Son? Child of God, are you away from the Lord tonight? He's done everything for us. He loves us. He saved us eternally. You're going to heaven. But are you living for Him? Are you going to be ashamed when He comes? What you need to do tonight as we sing this next verse, you obey the Spirit of God as we sing. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood to lose all their guilty stains. On that third verse, talks about the dear dying Lamb of God. He's our Passover. Paul said He's our Passover that's been crucified.
Amen.
Amen. He's the Passover Lamb of God that takes away all the sin of every sinner from the beginning to the end of this world. He's the only one that can take away sin. Blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It's the Lamb of God that takes away sin. Would you trust Him tonight as we sing that third verse?
Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the rest of church of God be saved to say,
appreciate the message tonight, and I appreciate you being here, and